Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you from the studios of Ways of Glory on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. I'd like to welcome you this morning to the Day of the Woman. We have been carrying a series for the past week on the Day of the Woman as we are preparing for the Women's Leadership Economic Empowerment Summit in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's going to be February 26th and 27th. We want to see you out here in Fayetteville at the end of the month because we are going to be hearing from God in every area of our life. He is going to be raising the standard. Today we are blessed in the studio because we do have a special guest. We're going to be talking about the importance of finances in our lives. What is your relationship with money, and how is it affecting your life and ministry? We're going to be exploring money relationships with our special guest, Raquel Hinkson, who's on the line today. She is, in addition to being a minister of the gospel, she's also an expert in credit restoration. And so right now I'd like to welcome to the platform Raquel Hinkson. How are you this morning? Raquel? Hello?
Good morning.
Okay, Raquel, I'm there. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Bless you. How are you this morning?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm the same. Amen to that. I want to just welcome you to Waves of Glory. And I would like for you this morning, introduce yourself, tell the people who you are, what you do, where you're from.
Good morning, everybody. I am Raquel Hinkson. I am in Dover, Delaware, and I am a credit restoration specialist. As the apostle said, in addition to being a minister of the gospel, first and foremost, I love the Lord with all my heart, and I follow him in everything that I do. I do credit. I talk credit. I live credit. I breathe credit restoration because I firmly believe that we are in a season right now where God is going to bless us through our finances. But if we don't have our finances right, if we're still struggling with dealing with negative things in our finances, God cannot bless us the way he chooses to bless us. So I'm here to help with finances and credit and building your credit and learning how to use credit correctly. That's what I do. I love doing it.
Amen. I was just thinking on the scripture this morning how it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And are you finding that in the body of Christ that we are faithful in the stewardship of the finances God puts in our hands?
Since, you know, it's hard if we are not faithful. You know, the church preaches tithing, and that's one of the principles that we live on, and we know God blesses through tithing. But I found working with, especially women, is that we are not faithful because we don't know how to be faithful in our finances. A lot of what we are dealing with is things that we learned from our parents. I know in a conversation we had the other day, and you mentioned, you're right, that the generational curse has been broken, but many of us don't realize it. And so we follow what we learned. And we, as with anything else, you learn what you've been in your whole life. So if your parents was bad with money, you're going to be bad with money unless you make a conscious effort not to be. If all you saw was mom and dad saying, well, I don't have, we can't do this because I don't have, or the bills are late, or you saw the disconnect notice, or like in my life, it wasn't due until the disconnect notice came. So that's what I learned, and I had to break my wet self away from as an adult. Way into my adult years is when I broke away from that. So we are not faithful in our finances, but it's not because we don't want to be. It's because we don't know how to be.
Amen. I agree with that. Go ahead.
So what I do is not only do I help to correct what's on your credit report, negative things, incorrect things on your credit report, but I go as far as to work with you to teach you how to deal with your finances. So we do budgeting, we do savings. I teach the principle of how to keep your credit score high. Many people don't know about the 30% is what you need to keep your credit card utilization under to have a good credit score. If you don't know it and it's not being taught, you're not going to be able to handle it.
And so what do you feel is the dangers of mishandling credit? I know when young people first get into college, they are inundated with all these offers for credit cards, and they just are so excited. They think that is free money. What are the dangers of mishandling credit?
The dangers is you can't buy a house. If you can get a house, your interest rate is going to be horribly high. Your car rate, instead of having an interest rate on a car, instead of a 0% or zero down, or even a 10% interest rate on a new car, you're going to be paying 25-26%, which is going to almost triple your car. So instead of a $10,000 car, now that $10,000 car could be $25,000-$30,000 because of bad credit. Even as far as insurance rate, when you go and get car insurance, they're actually checking your credit report before they give you a final decision on what your rate is. And it can double almost when your credit is low. I love looking at old TV shows, and I look at I Love Lucy. And I remember back then, credit wasn't a big deal. You went and you swiped, you paid it off. But they didn't it didn't matter for so many things. Even as a child, credit was important, but it wasn't horribly important. Nowadays, you can't do anything without a good credit score. You can't, even your jobs now will look at your credit report before hiring you. And the list just goes on of what happens when you have bad credit or challenge. I don't like to say bad credit, challenge credit, as compared to excellent credit or good credit. And like you said with college students, it is free money. You go and you charge up and you say, okay, I got this $500 credit card. I'm going to Walmart or I'm going to Macy's and I'm just going to charge up. And then the bill comes and it's like, oh, now what?
Right, right. You mean I have to pay this back?
Yeah, exactly. every single night for a month, and everybody was at my dorm room, and now I got to pay this back.
Right.
And the bad thing about that is you pay $20 a month, it's not going to do anything, but it's not even paying your interest on your credit card at that point.
Correct. I'm looking in the scripture in Luke chapter 16, verse 11 says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Now, as a minister of the gospel, think about that and let me know what you're thinking. When the word of God says that to us, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And we think about
God
the kingdom
wants
of
to bless us. God wants to bless us. And, it says that, you know, if you're faithful in a little, you will get much.
Yes.
And so if you're not faithful in a little, can you really be trusted that what the scripture is saying with a lot? God wants to give us everything we desire, but we have to start small. So we can't be trusted with that 5-bedroom house if we can't pay our rent on a 2-bedroom apartment.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. That's
so
good.
We have
That's
to
good.
Start, we have to start small and work our way. And the first thing to do is to get the knowledge. First and foremost, have the desire to change.
Yes.
Without the desire, and if we just comfortable, well, this is how it was, this is how mama did it, mama and them did it this way, and they've survived, so I'm just going to keep surviving, and don't have the desire, God can't bless you with much. But if you have the desire and the heart to change, God's going to put the means to you for you to change. And as you change, you grow. And as you grow, your territory, regardless if it's materialistic, spiritual, emotional, your territory grows with you.
Amen. That's excellent. And I don't think that's something that we think about when we begin to have faith and say, I believe God is going to bless me here, and I believe he's going to bless me with that 5-bedroom house. And we haven't yet learned how to operate with the studio apartment. Our finances are in a shamble. We're always living off the overdraft and instead of living in the overflow. So what would you suggest as a first step into to being educated about our financial status, thing we need to do, especially as women? Because we like you say, we learn from our parents, and then we decide, I'm going out, I'm on my own, I can do whatever I want to do, and then we do things that get us in trouble with our money. So what would be some good advice, say, to a young woman who's she's just going off away from home and she needs to establish credit? What should she be doing?
If she does not have any credit, if you're a young woman and you have no credit and you're trying to build that credit so that you can get the things that you desire out of life, regardless if it's a new business, a new home, a car, the first thing I would suggest that you do is apply for a secure credit card, which is a credit card that you pretty much is putting money against. So let's say you go to a credit card company and it's a secure card. So you put $300, you give them $300, they put it in a bank account, interest bearing. You get a credit card for $300. I would only use 30% of that $300 a month on a regular basis and pay it off. And every month, use it. So I give this example, and this is the easiest way. If you drive, if you live somewhere, you have to have a car, and you have a $300 credit card, use that credit card for gas and gas only. You know you have to pay for gas in your car. Keep that money to the side. Don't spend the money. Keep the gas money to the side. And when that bill comes, you pay off the bill with the money you saved, and you're building your credit that way. Because the company will see that you need, that you're using credit that every month, uh-huh. but that you're also paying it right. And you will see your credit score skyrocket just for doing that one little thing.
So you,
and
so
also
you're saying
I would suggest that you budget.
Oh, yes. So I was going to ask about the credit card. I've got this money set aside for gas. I gas up, and now I have to pay it off instead of, like, the minimum payment is only $20 a month. Why shouldn't I just stretch it out so they can see that I really know how to pay on time?
Because when you do that, your bill is going to continuously raise, and you're not going to stay under that 30% margin. So if your bill, if you could pay, let's say you use $60 in gas a month, even if you don't pay $60, if you pay $50, your bill will be under the 30%, and they will see that you need it, but your bill won't continue to rise. If you use $60 in gas in January, and your bill comes in February, and you pay $20, you still have a $40 bill there, and then you use another $60, mm-hmm. Your credit limit's going to continue to rise, which means your utilization is going to continue to rise.
I see.
And before you know it, you're going to be at that $300 limit, and your credit score is going to drop down instead of going up.
Amen. All right. That is some very good information that we need, and I'm sure, I know I wasn't taught anything about credit. I wasn't taught anything about a credit card. I wasn't taught about paying bills on time. Actually, my mom just threw them in the trash unopened, saying they'll send another one. So when I got into credit situations, if I didn't have money, I threw them in the trash unopened and said they'll send another one. And that was very bad. And I don't know if I passed that on to my son or not. I certainly hope not. But I found out a few things after I began to work for a collections agency, and it showed me just how little we knew about money and about credit and about debt collection and what could and could not be done. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're going to be doing in the upcoming summit is we're going to have an hour of economic empowerment, and these are the things we're going to be talking to the women about and sharing with them how to be healthy in their finances. And it takes more than just believing God for financial miracle and debt cancellation, because if we don't have the tools, we're going to go right back to that same spending, that same way of making ourselves in debt, and then we're going to end up once again in the same fix that we were in. But I want to thank you today, Raquel Hinkson, for being here live with us on Waves of Glory. Hopefully we'll be able to see you at the summit in February at the end of this month. If not, amen. See, if you don't, do you have any DVDs or CDs that you can send our way that we can sell to get into the hands of the women of God? If not, I would like to suggest that you put something together even before you come, if that's possible.
I would have something when I get there, yes. Yes,
yes, it's coming to me right now that, you know, because we need to hear it over and over and over. We may not grasp everything the first time, but when we have that tool in our hand, that resource, we can say, yes, I can refer to this, and amen, that maybe they will be able to call you and to use your services to help them to get back on track to doing what is right, being faithful, good stewards of the manifold blessing of God, as well as being trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. We do have another caller online, and we are just about to close out, and I just want to give you an opportunity to say something if you desire.
The name of my company is Yancey Financial Systems, and I want the ladies to know that Yancey stands for You Are Not Your Credit. Your credit does not define who you are. Your credit, you are still the wonderful daughter, wife, mother, saved child of God that you have always been, regardless of what your credit score is. So don't let anyone ever let you think that because your credit score might be low or challenged that you're a bad person, because you are not your credit, and your credit does not define who you are.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Raquel.
And thank you for having me. Yes.
And wonderful.
Thank you.
Amen. We look forward to speaking with you again. Amen.
Yes.
Well, this is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and this has been Waves of Glory. Once again, we are inviting you out to the Women's Leadership Economic Empowerment Summit, February 26th and 27th. We are converging on Fayetteville, North Carolina. You want to be here because God is moving by His Spirit to connect women of God from everywhere and to connect our gifts and our callings, to connect our businesses. He's going to do something massive in this city. And we have something that God has revealed even on Sunday in church. He's given us a simple strategic move that's going to shape generations to come. So I want you all to be there. Don't miss it. We're praying for you three times a day, 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., so that God will cause you to break through in every area of your life. So if that's what you're needing, that's what you've been praying for, if you are standing in the valley of dry bones today, know that the wind of the Spirit is blowing your way, and you shall live and be raised up an exceeding great and mighty army of God. Thank you. God bless you, and have a good day.